Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station with coaches Wendy, Krista, and Shermin. Our goal is to search out and share with you the latest news about how to become and stay empowered to make the most transformative lifestyle or business building choices. For 30 minutes, each Monday at 12 noon U.S. Eastern Time, you will have the opportunity to hear inspiring interviews with coaches specializing in a variety of life-transforming areas. It is our intent to provide you a once-a-week break of inspiration to carry you throughout your week. Your co-hosts are Wendy, who is a business transformation coach, Krista, who is a healthy lifestyle coach, and Shermin, who is a success coach. It is important to know that all of the concepts and information presented during any of our shows are for educational purposes only. They are not intended to guarantee results of any kind. Please consult with professionals before embarking on any lifestyle or business-related changes. Again, welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, your inspiration station. We hope you enjoy the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another week's episode of Sky's the Limit Radio. This is Wendy Hatton, and I'm going to be your... And we are delighted to have a guest that is an awesome coach. Her name is Sumati Govinda as a guest on our show today. Sumati was born with an intense desire to realize her true nature, a desire that was nurtured by growing up in Yogaville. Before she entered kindergarten, her passion for yoga and meditation was ignited. She encouraged her serviceful nature by obtaining a Bachelor of Science in Nursing. As a lively public speaker, she loves sharing the wisdom of classical yoga and meditation with people from various backgrounds. Sumati and her beloved husband, children, and grandchildren reside in Yogaville. So Sumati specializes in yoga therapy and spiritual life coaching with a focus on spiritual awakening, discovering your true self, and meditation. The title of our show today is Suffering is Optional, Believe Your Way to a Better Life. So welcome to Sky's the Limit Radio, Sumati. We're so glad to have you here on our show today.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you so much for inviting me to join you.
Yeah, it's been great. I remember when we first met months ago, we had such a great conversation, so I'm glad we're here again, doing it again. That's great.
I always enjoy speaking with you, Wendy. It's delightful.
Well, thank you. So anyway, I'm going to start asking you some questions, and then we'll just see what happens here and just go for it. Oh, actually, it looks like one of our other co-hosts just came to the studio. Let me open up her mic. Hey, Shermin, is that you?
Yes, it is. Hi, Wendy. Glad to be here with you,
Shermin.
Today and all our listeners and Smutty.
Yeah.
Hi, Shermin. So we're... Nice to meet you.
Hi. Nice to hear you. Looking forward to our talk today. Did we introduce you yet, Wendy?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I introduced her, and now we're just getting ready to start with the questions. So that you came at a great time. So I just wanted to ask her, my first question is, so what way of looking at the world has made the most difference in your life?
I would have to say the concept, which is included in the title, the concept that what we believe creates our reality. And it's not so important the specifics of that belief, but the fact that we firmly believe in it. I do generally recommend that the people that I'm coaching believe something positive and uplifting, because if we're going to create a better version of our experience of life and reality, let's have it be as uplifting as possible with as little drama and suffering as we can possibly muster. But I think just knowing as a child that it was I believed in that was important made the biggest one of the biggest differences for me.
I see. So you live in Yogaville. Can you explain to where that is located, just for if anyone is curious?
Sure. I'm a founding member of Satchitananda Ashram Yogaville, which is about an hour south of Charlottesville. I'm sure many of you have heard of Charlottesville lately. Please pray for us. And also about an hour and a half west of Richmond. So we're kind of in the center of Virginia, right on the James River. And for those of you who don't know, we're one of the premier yoga teacher training centers, as well as interfaith hubs offering interfaith connection and interfaith services and interfaith training. So I'm actually also an interfaith minister through
wow.
yoga. Yeah.
Awesome.
I do a lot. I wear a lot of hats.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Sherman, you have a question.
Yeah, so, you know, we talked, I think, probably you talked a little bit about what matters most to you, and you were talking about what's made the most difference in your life and, you know, what have you learned about. Who has been your greatest inspiration? And, you know, talk a little bit about that, if you could.
That's a really easy one. Swami Satchitananda, the founder of Yogaville, who was one of the premier interfaith pioneers back in the 50s and 60s. He was my guru or spiritual teacher or my yoga teacher. And from the time that I was a very small child, my parents started doing yoga and meditation in the late 60s in California. But they met Swami Satchitananda a little later in 1973. But he was phenomenal. The way that he related to other people that was so respectful, kind, skilled. It was mesmerizing to watch as a child. I remember the first time that I can recall meeting him, I was six, and I remember thinking, whatever he's doing, that's what I want. Because he was so effortlessly happy and kind. That's what I wanted more of in my life. I had a little bit of a temper when I was a child, so that inspired me, that effortless joy and sort of, I don't know, just a peaceful sort of presence. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds so good. You know, effortless happiness and kindness and joy, effortless.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. I can only imagine how that would inspire you. How do you spell his name exactly? I was trying to write it down, but I got stuck.
Sure. If you're going to Google him, and there's plenty on the internet about him, it's Swami Satchitananda, Satchitananda. So there's a Facebook page. He actually left his body in 2002, but Yogaville has just continued to grow because the importance of the yoga movement in conjunction with the interfaith movement just keeps our community flourishing and growing because it's needed in this time.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that with you. So that's awesome. I think that, Wendy, you have the next question.
Yeah, I was actually curious. When did you actually start your yoga and meditation training? I know that you were just small. You were talking before the show started that your influence was started way back when you were around 2 years old with your parents. But when did you actually, like, seriously become trained and everything to do what you're doing right now?
Okay, it's a little bit of a story, so I'm going to share that with you. Yeah, my dad taught me how to meditate when I was two, and I really enjoyed it. And then my family, my parents, my mom and my dad would have us meditate together as a family. But then we moved to Yogaville when it was in Connecticut. Yogaville moved down here to Virginia, to Buckingham, Virginia, in, I think, 79, 80, but it was in Connecticut before that. So when I was 11, I went to the first yoga-based interfaith schools in Yogaville in Connecticut in 79, and I was 11. And at that point, I was serious. I was not joking around. I wanted to realize my true self. I wanted to end the cycle of suffering. I could, even at 11, I was like, there's got to be a way out of this.
Wow.
Of this
even at 11. Wow.
And, yeah, I was very
you were ready for this.
I was ready. I was wanting to be a nun when I was 3, so I was already really dedicated. So I asked Swami Satchidananda if I could become a monk when I was 11. Uh-huh. And he said, he was very sweet. He said, no, that path is not for you, that there were people, there were men out there that needed to be with you, even if you don't need to be with them. There's somebody, and I'm glad I chose that path because I have 3 lovely children and 2 grandchildren. I started meditating every day for a minimum of 20 minutes, 2 or 3 times a day, and then I quickly worked it up to about 3 hours of sitting practice for many years where I would just sit and meditate, and sometimes even longer. Because when you're really in a meditative state, time and space don't exist for you, and so it's sort of an effortless sort of peace pervades, and an effortless bliss pervades your being. So you just sort of sit there contently in stillness.
Wow.
So so that was my, like, and then I started, I didn't actually take my training until much later because I was a mother and married and working as a nurse. So I didn't have the month long sabbatical to take a teacher training. So even though I was offered by Yogaville to sort of clep out of any kind of training, I wanted the experience. So I didn't start my formal training until like 2011 or something like that. It was many years later. Yeah, I was already teaching by the time I was already counseling people and coaching people teaching by the time I took my training. Yeah.
That's amazing. So when you would meditate for so long, what would you meditate about? Just things happening currently in life, in your life, in the world at the time? Or what? I'm just curious what types of things you would meditate about at any particular time back when you did it a long, like, how long did you say, 3 hours for in a day? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just very curious about that.
When I first started meditating as a child, they taught us multiple different types of meditation. So they taught us focused attention meditations where you focus on an object of awareness, either external or internal to yourself. And then they taught us open monitoring or non-judgmental type of meditation where you step back and you just sort of witness your thoughts and emotions and stop identifying with them and start recognizing that they're constantly changing, that therefore that cannot be you, who you really are. Who you really are is observing, and the seer, the one who's witnessing the thoughts and emotions and the, you know, aches and pains in the physical body. So initially when I started seriously meditating in 1979, I was saying a mantra, which is a Sanskrit phrase that was uplifting, that has a nice vibration. So I would say my mantra, but because I had the opportunity to check in with a meditation teacher and a spiritual teacher regularly, at a certain point my mantra shortened and I was only able to repeat Om. It was just like Om was the only thing, that hum, that sound of the vibration of the universe was just repeating. So I could check in with my guru and say, is this supposed to happen? Am I doing it wrong? You know? And he's like, no, that's wonderful. He's very proud and said, that's supposed to happen. And then a few months later, the Om dissolved and there was just silence and stillness and peace. And so when I was sitting for 3 hours at a time, it was during that transformative process. Yeah. And so it was very effortless and. And then the practice became extending that experience out into my daily life. You know, it's great if you're sitting on a pillow and you feel really peaceful and really happy, but how are you when you're in traffic, and how are you when you're having an argument with your children and your husband and, you know, with your coworkers? So I started extending that experience of effortless peace into my daily interactions with people.
That's great. That's really amazing how that works. Well,
yeah.
Can you give us an idea of what your spiritual practice, like How do you feel, what has prompted your greatest growth through your spiritual practice and during all of your many years of all of this meditation and yoga and meditation, what has prompted your greatest growth?
I would have to say that earnest desire for peace and really believing that there was a possibility that you could live in this world, experience the full range of human emotions, but without the deep level of suffering which can be caused by identifying with what you're experiencing. So, you know, if you're identifying with your migraine, that's a much more intense experience than if you're able to step back and witness the migraine and say, okay, my body is suffering, but I am eternally peaceful, eternally blissful. My existence is untainted by this experience that I'm having. So just having that belief sort of ingrained in my neurotransmitters, creating those neural pathways when I was so young, really prompted that intense seeking for liberation or freedom from that experience. Yeah.
That's amazing that you were so young and you were able to do that. That's really amazing.
She was ready for it.
She like
was
I said,
ready.
I was a really intense kid. I'm sorry?
Yeah.
No, I said she was ready for it because, you know, since 3 years old, you were in touch with something already that said, you know,
right,
I want
yeah,
more peace.
So,
Like I said, I don't want to give you an impression that I was some kind of saint or something. I was a really intense kid. I had a super big temper, and I wasn't really good at anger management at all, so I'd fight with anybody. So my inspiration to be free from suffering was selfishly based because I was causing a lot of my own suffering by my behaviors, not having the skills to be able to emotionally regulate and to be comfortable with what I was feeling and to feel that in a way that I wasn't harming anyone, that I wasn't suppressing or expressing. I was just feeling and being present with what I was feeling. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was really a direct result almost of that you realized you needed something because the intensity of what was going on for you was too much for you even.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So my own anger. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just saying my own anger was the inspiration, my own suffering. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. So this effortless happiness and kindness and joy that you saw in the Swami, do you feel you've achieved that or is that an ongoing process? You talked about, you know, it sounds like you achieved that in meditation and you try to extend the meditation into regular life. Where do you feel you are in that that process and the growth in that process?
I am 24/7 effortlessly peaceful and blissful at this time. Yeah, it's pretty great. It's been about 15 years of that, and when I first had the experience, I had experiences like that before, profound, like unitive consciousness experience is what the neuroscientists call it. So I'd already had some of that, but it would always come and go. And so it wasn't for about 6 months that I realized this isn't going anymore. You know, this is the level of again, resting effortlessly and that awareness just wasn't changing and I couldn't unknow it. And so that has become the way that I experience life now. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that my life is like, you know, my life is very human in its context, you know, just like everybody else. I eat, I sleep, I, you know, go to the movies, you know, tragedies occur around me and within my close relationships. So I don't ever want to give anyone the impression that freedom or liberation or effortless peace and bliss which is our true nature, is somehow less human, or that you're somehow going to be spiritually bypassing your human experience. It's that you become skillful in being fully human.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah. I want to ask you some more about that, though, because, I mean, there's a lot of, it doesn't sound like life becomes easy suddenly, because, you know, there, like you said, there's, you know, arguments with your children, you know, tragedies in life. Like, for instance, how are you managing to keep your peace during what a lot of us struggle with right now, like our current political climate?
Yes. And it's funny. It's the identification with the suffering that increases the intensity of the pain. It's when we feel so firmly invested in it that we have like a I, me, mine sort of clinging, craving, kind of I need to do something about my belief system, my faith tradition, my, you know, group of people. When we start to condense our experience into the I, me, my, instead of all of us are in this together, we are all connected, we are all one, we are all cooperating, how can we help each other from that selfless, connected place? So does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. No, I understand. So it's not making everything about yourself. Sounds like, you know, we attach this meaning to so many things that happen that have nothing necessarily to do with us, and at the same time, we're all in that together. I mean, that's kind of how I understand it. I'm not sure if I'm on the right track with what you were saying.
Yeah, when we create that us and them kind of context in our mind, then there's something to battle against, and there's something to fight against. When we start to incorporate a we concept, then you start to think of problem solving and solution building and relationship building and cooperation. Mm. And you start to, it starts to dissolve that judgmental, critical nature of the mind, that it's its default mechanism, sort of its negative bias. And you start to go to some of your higher thinking, more like, you know, frontal lobe, prefrontal cortex, wise executive function, where cooperation, altruistic solutions, and that kind of problem solving kicks in, as opposed to divisive.
Yeah. So it's less. You get less distracted by your judgment, it sounds like. And you're just, you know, because the judgment can just keep everything going so much, then that's the us versus them, you know, and having to prove to yourself or your group that, you know, this is really how it should be and not that way. So it seems like that would be the big distraction that doesn't allow us to get to cooperation and, you know, all of what you've been talking about. And I always feel that, too, that judgment is such a distraction, you know, it's self-judgment, you know, because it stops you right there in your tracks, right? You can't go further with that. Yeah, that makes sense. Wow.
But what I try to teach my students is that, like, don't resist what arises. Learn to embrace it, but learn to embrace it skillfully in a way that doesn't harm anyone else. So, you know, instead of just suppressing your judgment, which just gives it more attention and more energy, look the other way and think the positive opposite thought. Or if it keeps arising, if anger over the current climate in the country, regardless whether it's environmental or racial or political, if the anger keeps arising within you, then look at the anger and learn to sit with that in a way that won't harm anyone. Because being angry without the story of shame or blame or, you know, regret or worry about the future, just being angry itself isn't going to hurt you. It's when you tell the story when you open your mouth, you know, when you mm-hmm. when you move your body when you're angry, that that causes harm. But anger itself is sort of a neutral energy that moves through us and shows us what we're passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I so agree with that. It's this getting stuck in a story around the anger that can get really distracting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we run out of time, we could speak about this forever. Did you want to say you wanted to say one more thing about it? Go for it.
I don't know what I was going to say now, but bottom line is that I do have to suggest many times to the people that I counsel that to take breaks from the news occasionally, because the news is designed to stir up an emotional reaction within us. And if we can take breaks, because if we become one more angry person in the midst of a group of angry people, then we're all just angry in this together and we're all hating together. But if you can take a break, step back, and find your own peaceful center, and your own, then you can come forward from a place of peace and stand up and say no with peaceful mm-hmm. empowerment.
Mm, yeah, love that.
No, that's great. That's a good way to sum it up. Absolutely. So, Wendy, before we run out of time.
Yeah, we'd like to hear what programs you have coming up, or if anybody's listening that really resonated with what you've been talking about. How can people reach you, or any kind of anything that you have to offer? Just let us know.
Okay. So my website is Sumati Govinda, SUMATIGOV as in Victor, INDA.com, SumatiGovinda.com. And I do retreats in Yogaville. So if you go to yogaville.org, you'll also find me that way. But it's also listed on my website. I have an online Raja Yoga course, which is a yoga philosophy course that is sort of based on the science of the mind. And then I travel around and teach quite a lot, so you can just look at my page and feel free to invite me to your neighborhood, and I love teaching. I love sharing the ancient wisdom with a modern spin and in modern context. So
wow, that's awesome. Great,
awesome. We'll make sure to put that information on our Facebook page. And Sumati, thank you so much for being our guest. I know a half an hour goes so fast, and we just got into talking. We just are really enjoying this, and I hope you could come and you know, continue this conversation with us another time.
I'd love to. Thank you so much, Sherman and Wendy. I really appreciate it. I love the work that you guys are doing. I hope you continue for many years, as long as it brings you joy.
Thank
awesome,
you.
Awesome.
Yes, it's been
thank
really
you.
Fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, our audience, also, for tuning in again today to Sky's the Limit Radio. We appreciate you for listening and following us, and hope you enjoyed our show today as much as we have. As always, the best way to get more information about upcoming shows is to like us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Sky's the Limit Radio. Please feel free to share your thoughts, comments, and feedback on our Facebook page. We love to hear from you. Or you can visit us at our website at skysthelimitradio.com to stay up to date on all the good stuff we have coming up for you, and where you can also get your Sky's the Limit Inspiration Kit. To listen to recordings of past shows you may have missed, go to blogtalkradio.com/skysthelimit. You never know, you might discover that one episode, like the one today, that could make a difference in your life. Until next time, everyone, and remember, the sky's the limit to what you can do. Have a great week, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you, Sumati. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, ladies. Really.
Bye, Sumati.
Bye, Sherman. Bye, Wendy. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.